design is not what I want to be doing. High key, I want to be on a beach somewhere, writing like scripts and making movies and watching movies and talking about. The only thing I know I can talk about from today till next year is movies. I can talk about filmmaking. I can talk about old Hollywood and old French movies and old Iranian movies. I know that nobody can outtalk me when it comes to movies. And it really helped because when I started design, there was a lot of all that imposter syndrome and all that. I was going to say something, but I remember reading that we should not use that type of words. Yeah, so, yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah, but movies really help because there's no imposter syndrome when it comes to filmmaking. Like, that's the one thing I know. Like, nobody can psych me out. The only person that knows more than me is probably, like, I don't even know. Because, yeah, so that's, like, my space. Okay. But super cool to meet you.
Hey, y'all. Good day. My name is Jeremiah Foranshaw, your host, as you know, and also a product designer and also a design tutor, right? I happen to teach design as well. I don't just happen to actually teach it. So, well, in today's episode, I had a conversation with a product designer and I say a friend now. Yeah, if only one, you get. I found that to be an interesting person. Really interesting. I want to believe that. In fact, from like the introduction, you already can tell how interesting she is and how unique she is. So, well, let's get to meet her more and let's know more about her. Hey, Hawa, go ahead.
Okay, so my name is Hawa Spelman, and I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about my professional life or just my personal life. I'm going to start with my personal life. So, I don't really have a personal life. I don't have a personality. I can't tell you anything interesting about myself. But I'm a computer engineer. Nobody can put me anywhere and ask me anything about computer engineering because I actually don't know. Not like I don't know what I did in school. It's just what I did in school is totally unrelated to anything that goes on in the real world. So that knowledge is pretty much just sitting there. I studied computer engineering for my undergrad. I studied computer engineering for my postgrad. I'm supposed to graduate next month, so don't worry. I'll send you an invite. Come on. What else? Okay, again, like I said, I like movies. I watch a lot of movies. I like indie music. I like to do soft. Different. Sorry?
That's new and different. Go ahead.
Yeah. I like soft, sad indie music. I remember one time I was in uni and there was this phase where I won't go to class. I'll just be on my bed listening to like sad indie songs from morning till night. I'll just be crying by myself for no reason. So yeah, I like indie music. I like to write. I wrote a book, really sad book. I've written a lot of books, so I like to write. I like to read. I know so many poets and so many. I think for a while, all I used to do with my allowance was just buy like very old books, Oscar Wilde, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Hemingway, and all those type of things. So that's everything about my personal life, basically. Like I said, I just sit at home and read books and watch movies and do design, which is really weird. Then for my professional life, so I'm a product designer. And I started product designing. Is that really proper way to say it? Yes. I started designing products like 3 years ago. And it's really funny how I started. So I came to Abuja from Zaria the week after graduation, and I knew I didn't want to sit at home, and I really wanted to buy an iPhone 11. What I did was, I knew how much it was, so I was telling myself that even if it's 10K salary, even if it's a job that pays me 10K, I'll take it and just save all the 10K and buy my iPhone 11 and quit. So, and I knew I liked design, but I didn't know anything about any type of design. But I just knew I liked design. So what I did was, I just went online and I Googled design, and then every single job that I saw, I just applied. So I applied for so many, but then COVID came and blah blah blah. What's it called? Everywhere shut down and stuff like that. Then I think a month after, it was in November, this company reached out to me and they said they wanted me to come and do an interview for a product designer role, a junior product designer, an intern product designer position or something like that. And it was really funny because I still did not know what product designers did. I just applied because I liked the title. It was fancy, product design. So I went online and I was aggressively Googling. That's like my superpower, is like aggressively researching stuff. So I went online, I was just Googling different things and trying to get like in the, trying to get myself ready for the interview. And then I figured out what product design was. I couldn't do it. I'd never done it, but I knew what it was. Designing websites, basically, after I saw online. And I'm like, ah, it's not that one. I can't do it. So I went for the interview. I was really hyped. I even bought this mask set. And funny enough, I still have the mask set with everything complete till today. It's like my favorite tool. So I bought this mask set. I can't remember the name. But I've done product placement just now. But that's their look. So I went for the interview. And these guys were there. And another thing I'm really good at is just telling stories. Right, and just lying,
and
not really lying, but I say so many words. Right, it's very easy to convince people I know what I'm talking about, even when I don't. So when this interview, I was sitting down. I remember the guy was wearing this sweater, and I remember that morning I was wearing a dress. I don't really wear dresses, but I wore a dress that morning because I was feeling ceremonial. And as I was entering the car to go for the interview, my dress tore. That was proof that dresses. Anyway. So I got to the interview and the guy's talking to me and he asks me about color theory. And of course, I have no idea what he's talking about, but I watch a lot of movies and there's color theory in movies. So I use the color theory from movies. Basically, everything I did that day was everything I knew from movies. He asked me about composition. I did not know what composition meant in relation to design, but I knew what composition was in relation to movies. And I felt, okay, design is the same thing. I just use the same concept. And I did. And it was funny because after that, they told me I'd gotten the job. And I laughed because I just came there and I just said nonsense and I didn't know what I was doing and I got the job. And I liked, okay, at the end of the day, I realized the job was pretty trash because they did not pay my salary and I had to lie to them that I had COVID so that I would quit. But anyway, they gave me 3 days. I'll never forget my life. They gave me 3 days to design an entire app and I was an intern. How does that even work? I was so overwhelmed. And they didn't pay my salary. They kept on holding it. And I think it was 40K. And that's all the money for my iPhone 11. I don't know what they're saying. If they're not giving me the iPhone 11, I just told them, sorry, I have COVID and I'm in isolation center. So I can't come to work again. He said, I hope you're all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Just, you know what, don't hold that spot for me. Don't worry about it. I'm taking time off. And that was the end. Then after that, I went for NYC. And then I got my first internship job again. And then from there, I got my first job, and I got my second job, and I got my third job. And I think I'm on my fourth job now. Yeah, a true Gen Z person. I don't stay in one place. So that's everything about my professional life so far.
So the conversation is getting not too serious, but more interesting. Diving into career conversations, I asked Awa about building startups, basically, because I remember I saw something on a LinkedIn about her building a startup called Amuthu Health. So I threw the question to Awa and here's her response and here's what she had to say.
Yeah. So, okay. It's like this now. So, was it 2020? Oh, 2021. So I like to build stuff. I've always been a builder. Before I started building digital products, before I even knew, again, what digital products were, I used to build a lot of stuff. I think I wrote it in my LinkedIn bio. I used to build a lot of stuff. My parents had this garage that they didn't really use. And my parents are not like normal parents in the sense that sometimes, if we're in America, child services are coming to come and carry me. Because I think on my 10th birthday, they got me a soldering iron. Because I asked for it, of course, because I like to build. But that was so dangerous. And then I had a hacksaw. And they gave me like free access to this hammer. And I can't remember how many times I hit my hand. And I was really small. But I built so many things. I remember my mother is a mechanical engineer. And she, I don't know, there was something powerful about watching her. And she used to tell us about how she was the only female in her class, mechanical engineering, ABU. And I thought it was really cool. And my mother liked to build stuff. So anytime I see, I remember I take like little projects. There's this website I used to follow when I was like a teenager. When I was a child, because I wasn't even a teenager, I was like 10, 11. And I it's something DIY. I can't really remember. But they had all these mini projects, you know, make your own video game, make your own this, make your own skateboard, make your own go-kart. Remember this time I got this really weird plan for a go-kart. And then I came to meet my mother. And again, my mother had, they were like my biggest supporters, my parents, because they used to finance all my crazy ideas. So I came and I said I want to build a go-kart. And my uncle is like, back and I read your book. And I said, me, I want to talk to Isha, with my mother. I said, I want to build a go-kart. And she's like, and I asked her one question because we just had that, like, our own thing. Anytime I come with a project, I ask her, do you think this is impossible or do you think it's really hard? And when I brought the go-kart idea, she said, yeah, it's not impossible. It's just really, it's going to be really hard. But she would build these things with me, right? And she'd like put me through. So I was really inquisitive. And I remember telling her, even then when I was young, that I was going to invent something and to be very great and to change the world and blah, blah, blah. I had all these grand dreams. And now I just sit in my set pants, pressing computer. Anyway, so for Amoto Health. So after I left Zaria, I traveled, blah, blah, blah. I came to Abuja and then I started product design. And I figured, I can't remember what even got me into the world of startups. So I got this pitch deck. Sorry, I got this idea. Because again, I like soft life. I don't know if you can tell from my very soft voice, but I don't like this. So I came up with this idea for a company. I don't know if you know Eden Life.
Yeah, I know Eden Life.
So I didn't even know about Eden Life when I came up with this idea, but I wanted somebody. I just wanted to solve a personal problem, which is I don't like to stress myself. So I wanted somebody to come and take care of my cooking, my cleaning, my blah, blah, blah. And I got, you know, I just did like maybe like 1 hour of research and I saw Eden Life and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, whatever. I don't really care. I'll take them down. So I put together, I didn't have any plan. I put together this pitch deck and I submitted it to this VC. That's Fresh Tech Africa. I was feeling myself. And funny enough, Fresh Tech Africa reached out to me and said they want to have a meeting. And I'm like, Fresh Tech Africa, that's Odun. She's the CEO of Piggyvest and Eloho. And I'm like, I'm going to have a meeting. You see, and I know Fresh Tech Africa, they get, I think somebody, I didn't even know, but I had a friend who was also in the startup world and he told me, you know what, Fresh Tech Africa gives $25,000. And I'm like, Fresh Tech Africa will give me $25,000. I was already even planning what I was going to buy. See, I went home for salad that holiday. My shoulders were reaching my ear. I came back to Abuja and it was time for the meeting with Eloha and Odun. And I was talking, you know, they didn't say anything while I was presenting my very weird pitch deck filled with 90% lies because I did not do any research. It was just vibes, right? Straight up vibes. And then I finished presenting, I was feeling fly, and then they're like, no, I don't think that's it. And they kept on asking questions, asking me to crunch numbers that I had written and I did not have any answer. And at some point, I just wanted to hang up, I wanted to cry and just leave the call. And at the end of the call, they are like, yeah, that's cool, but we're not going to be investing. Thank you for your time. I think you need to go back to the research. I think it's not even a problem. They just gave me a lot of feedback. And later I ended that call, I called one of my friend, Ablakim, and I said, Ablakim, I don't really care what these people say. I'm actually going to build something else. It's just not going to be this. So I had a friend at the time. He sent me this flyer for JICA. I think JICA was doing this Japanese International Cooperation Agency. They were giving out $8,000 grants to 5 startups. So I came up again because I had already gotten feedback from Odun and I had already done like some research. I already knew. I had like an in. Right, I knew what to expect from this type of meeting because again, we're going to pitch. And what JICA was doing, they weren't looking for finished startups; they were looking for startups that they could take through this 3-month incubator program. So, I came up with. I can't remember what made me pick sexual healthcare because that's what Amoto Health is. I really can't remember the details. I know why I picked healthcare, but I can't remember why it was specifically sexual healthcare. I think it was just because it was interesting, and I was trying to like look for good trouble because it started off as a joke. So I applied to this JICA and then they go back to me and they're like, okay, we want to interview you. And I'm like, Omo, I've done interviews before, not in Wala. And I did the interview and they picked me, right? So here I was, I think I was 21 at the time and somebody was giving me $8,000 to build something. And it was really cool. I registered the company. I was like, I was feeling super fly at the time because at the time I was doing my NYC. I had a full-time job and NYC was still paying me that they had 3K. So I was like bawling. Like I was straight up bawling. Nobody could tell me anything. So that was essentially how I started Amoto Health. And then we went through the 3-month incubator program. I met a lot of cool people in the tech space, right? And I got a lot of mentors. And it was very insightful. And it was also really stressful because at the time I was doing that incubator program, I also had my full-time job. I also had my PPA work, and I also had just started my master, so it was a lot. I felt like I was running mad. I think it was even this day I just came home and I sat in my car for like 1 hour and I couldn't even move. But it was all really cool. Eventually, I think Amazon doesn't function anymore right now. But yeah, I'm still building different things and I think I'm going to be a builder forever. I love building a bit more than I love design. And I think, I think that's one of the best things about being a product designer is that you just get to build and you get to build and you get to move. Sorry, I know I rant a lot, but yeah.
Omo, at this point, you and I can tell that building a startup is not easy. It comes with loads and loads and loads of challenges. Funny story is that we didn't plan to exactly talk about startups, but here we are talking about startups. So, here's more on Amazon Health.
Well, okay, so I started it. I didn't even know how to... Okay, it's not running currently because I sort of... I'm going to take all the blame because, again, it was my startup and everything was on me. But we sort of... I had no idea how to run a startup. And yeah, it got really overwhelming because I was trying to do too much, right? I was trying to be fancy. I got this writer from, I think the person was in America to write content for my blog, for some reason best known to me at the time. And I had to pay her in dollars. I actually did not even pay her eventually because I didn't really like any of the stuff that she put out at the end of the day. But yeah, I was doing stuff like that. You know, I was paying exorbitant amount of money to people and eventually they weren't doing the work that they were supposed to do. And I couldn't even tell because at the time I wasn't even technical, even a little bit. I didn't know how to code. I didn't even know how to write Hello World or anything. I didn't know what a div block was. So they were just telling me, yeah, we're pushing stuff to the repo, but the repo was empty all the while. And when I first started in school, I entered this competition, this Now Startup 2.0 competition, and I won it. And I think I won about 200K. And I put that 200K in Amazon Health funds. But everything just sort of died. And again, because I didn't know how to run a startup, we started with, what's it called? We started trying to build a mobile app instead of a web app. A lot of things that I would do differently now, right? So there were just too many mistakes. And I love that I made those mistakes. And moreover, I love that I made those mistakes with somebody else's money because I could not have learned. I would not have done that myself. And I'd have felt really bad for my money. And I'm not saying that I squandered the money because it was my money. I'm just saying that if I had to learn the lessons, I'm glad I learned it with grant funding. So anyway, actually, when we got down to our last 500K, I'm like, nah, man. I have to rethink this. I want Amoto Health to work. And I really want to solve that problem. I fell in love with the problem and I fell in love with the solution. And at some time, it really got really personal for me. But when we got down to our last 500K, I knew I had to do something else. So I got this, my friend, and I designed a web version of the app. And we built it out. And we had a few paying users. And I'm glad that we got to solve problems for those people. We had a few paying users, but at some point it wasn't worth it. And we got down to our last 200K and I knew I couldn't really do anything like that. So I think I even spent it on a back end. It was just, at the end of the day, the whole 8K vanished, right? I remember even saying, you said what?
You said plus 200,000 naira.
200,000 naira. That might use that 20,000 naira to buy shawarma. No, for pay me like this.
Can you imagine?
No, because I had the 8K and I actually cannot tell you what I did for myself. Like, I wasn't even selfish with it. The difference in if I spent it on like a Mac M1, I will even feel guilty. I will even tell you about the story. I'll delete it from my LinkedIn so that it will not be there, so that when they're not going to hold my shirt. But I spent it trying to solve the problem. And I think that was the most heartbreaking fact. But that was also the coolest thing, is that I was genuinely trying to solve the problem. And eventually I closed it down because Heroku was charging me 5K every month. And I did not just think it was worth it, especially since I was now, because I had to get rid of my developers because they weren't really doing stuff. And I was really alone and I just had to re-strategize and it was just too much. So I just shut everything down. But I started it up again as a different brand called Talk to August. And I can't really say what's going on with Talk to August now. Proprietary stuff. But yeah, Talk to August is all right. Talk to August is all right. So I'm still on the journey of solving that problem of sexual health care for Nigerians. That's all I can say. Mental health is dead and gone. All right.
Okay.
Omo, building a startup. It's not easy. It's not ABC. Oh, well. I want to believe that you and I can agree on that. No, I just want to believe. I know. It comes with these challenges, right? And challenges are a lot. Honestly, yeah. So changing the scope of our conversation, shifting directions from startups to design-centric conversations, I basically asked Awa on her strategy to design. What's her process like? What does she do? How does she come about a design or a design solution? Listen to her.
My process is pretty standard. It's pretty similar to everyone else's process. I remember the first time somebody asked me what my process was, I told them the truth and I told them I go on Google and I just look for people's designs and I copy it. And the person, I even see eventually got the job, but not after they gave me hell for why I said that. But I'm like, yeah, one Nigeria, that's pretty honest. I can tell you that, I research and I do this and I do that, but that's not what you want to hear. Because even if I come into your company, you're not going to give me time to research. You're just going to tell me you want this design done by Friday. You honestly know that I cannot do any research between now and Friday. But anyway, that's not what anybody should do, obviously. So my own personal design process, if I am working on a product, for example, when I was working on my startups, I actually took the time to complete the entire design thinking process instead of just skipping, because I was my own stakeholder and I knew what I wanted. And again, it was a startup and I really needed to understand the problems people were facing. For me, it just starts with that, trying to understand the problem, right? Just get as much information as I can get. I really don't think that I think the most important tool a designer can have is information. And I think one of the most important skills a designer can have, again, is the ability to ask proper questions and the ability to find like the right answers and things like that. So I ask all the questions that I can possibly ask, even the questions that feel like they are insignificant. I ask them so that I am armored with as much information as I can get. And then I sort of sit down and I put all these pieces together and I remove from the empathy stage to the defined stage. And you just sort of, what does all this mean, right? Okay, BC says she cannot access sexual health care because, you know, there's no clinic near her, or because she really just doesn't want anybody to know she's out there in the world, like doing what she's doing. And so I define the problem and then I just sort of try to come up with a specific solution. And I have this formula for defining the problem, which is X happens. Sorry, let me think about it because I'm seeing something that does not make sense now. Okay. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember it. I think it's this happens. This is what's happening because of this, and this is what will happen if we cancel the problem. Oh yeah, that is it. Okay, so this is what is happening. This is what is happening to, and this is what is causing it. And this is what happens if we don't solve the problem. And I try to say that in as little words as I can. So, you know, we see people in Northern Nigeria, let's say, very weird. This is not accurate. But let's say people in Northern Nigeria find it hard to access sexual health care because of so-so-so-so. And then this causes them to have so-so-so-so. It is very simple. So in your problem statement, I've touched on the target audience, the problem they're facing, and what happens if you don't solve the problem. So anybody who's reading this sees like the immediate need to solve the problem, right? I know that, okay, if these people don't solve this problem, then they all get to live unsatisfactory lives. And then I decide, okay, is that my problem? Is it the big enough problem? Do I need to solve it? Is it something that can be solved? And then I move on to the solution part. And for solutions, I think this part, this was what I learned when I was doing that whole startup incubator thing. They taught us about mind mapping, and it's one of my favorite things to do. Because for me, it is a great way of getting in my own head and getting out of my own head. So for my mind maps, I usually define my solutions by tech enabled solutions and non-tech enabled solutions, because most of the time, again, product design is about solving problems. It's not about using technology to solve problems, right? So for example, I was talking to my cousin the other day, and I said, okay, I have a problem, is that I want hot coffee every morning, give me a solution. And she's like, give me a solution. And we're talking about it in the context of products and building products. And she's like, okay, you build an app for this and that. And I'm like, that is a tech-based solution. It's not necessarily the best solution. A great solution would be for me to buy a coffee machine and get hot coffee. A great solution would be for me to boil water and buy Nescafe, have a Nescafe, and just make hot coffee. I don't necessarily need to build an app just so I can order coffee that we get to me cold and start thinking about all the logistics. So I like to really differentiate tech-based and non-tech-based so that I really know whether the tech-based is where I want to go or if I can really just solve this problem without using technology. And just because I don't use technology doesn't mean I'm still not designing a product. I'm still designing a product, just not a tech product. Yeah, so I sort of just draw the mind map, and it goes on and it goes on, and I define. And what I learned from the incubator was sort of just to gather all of them and try to see how I could marry all the ideas together, which is what I do next. And then I go to my favorite part, which is just sketching stuff. So I think mid last year, I bought this really cute iPad. And I don't like to sketch. I've never liked to use Figma for low fidelity prototyping. I think it's a waste of time. Personally, of course, it's not a waste of time, but personally, I just really don't like that process of
you saying it, because I actually teach people to design, and I teach people to do low fidelity wireframe. So let me just hold on and talk.
Yeah, so I really don't like it. I don't like it very much. I've tried it, but I feel it takes almost as much time as a high fidelity wireframe would take, and eventually I just don't see the point. I cannot iterate as fast as I'd want to. And I'm really good at sketching, so it's not as if my sketches will look bad, right? And since I use Procreate on my iPad, I can really just send my designs to my laptop. It doesn't take more than 2 seconds and it's gone. So what I do is I sketch my ideas on my laptop, on my tablet, and then I share it with whoever it is I need to share it with. If I need to test it on other people. I remember for Amoto Health, because it was the first time I was really doing user testing, I got a bunch of people. Like I paid a guy to share 1 gig to 100 people just so that they will participate in my surveys and my testing and all those things I needed to do. And then I also went to coffee houses just to get people to see, and I was buying free coffee for people who were willing to try out the flow of the app. And I was like monitoring how they were using it and stuff like that. So I really felt good when I was doing Amoto Health. I think I have an Amoto Health case study, which I should really put back on my portfolio because it's not there now, because I really did a lot of work for that product. So after that, I just sort of moved things around. And Amoto Health was supposed to be grand. It was supposed to use AI and a bunch of other stuff. Even before AI became all this ChatGPT, whatever that we're seeing now, I really wanted to use AI back then. So yeah, after that, what did I do? What do I do? Yeah, so then I go to High Fidelity, and that's when I go to Figma. I remember when I did that interview with that fancy New York guy, he told me that, I asked him what a typical day in their office would be like. And he said, a typical day is you get to attend a bunch of meetings, you get to do a bunch of interviews, and if you are lucky, you get to go on Figma. And I use that, I use that his statement sometimes when I'm talking to people about product design. I'm like, if you're lucky, you get to design on Figma. Product design doesn't happen on Figma. That's not where it happens. It happens everywhere else. And then you just sort of translate it on Figma. I know UI UX design might happen on Figma. UI design perhaps happens on Figma, but product design doesn't. Product design is everywhere else, right? It's in every other thing. And every other thing is, if not more important than the Figma itself. Figma is just a tool for me to put a bunch of screens together, which will not work if I don't do any other thing, right? So, and I hop on Figma. That's like the second to the last thing I do. And I get the happy deity wireframes. And then I share it with whoever it is I need to share it with again. And then we just sort of move. And one thing I've learned since last time I built a startup was, now I'm sort of into the whole front-end web development. So it's easier for me to design. It's easier for me to be empathetic with the engineers when I'm designing. And it's easier for me as well to hold them to a higher standard. Because before I'd be like, make this button look like this. And they're like, Oga, I cannot. This is the best I can do. But now I know that it's not the best you can do. Oga, if you're not going to do it, move away. I will do it myself. Right? So I like that part. I like that no engineer can come and tell me again that they are pushing something to my repo. Because now I know what the repo is. That time, I know they tell me repo. Ah, almost was like they are seeking French. I'll just say okay because I don't want to look dumb. I don't want them to think I don't know what the repo is. But now if you tell me you have pushed something to my repo and I can't see it, I tell your guy, I don't understand what you're saying. So yeah, that's like my product design process.
At this point, I didn't want the conversation to end. I've taken some time to listen to the podcast again and I'm like, ah, shit, what a fine human being this is. Oh, well. So, Hawa is not only a fine human being, right? She has fine designs. But let me buttress more on being a fine human being. She's a beautiful person with a great personality, yeah. I think that literally tells in her design. You can tell in the kind of design she turns out, yeah. So I put a question to her asking her why her design's fine and also what does she do, right? I mean, what's her secret recipe? What's the magic that she performs? What's the spell she uses? Okay, Alicia.
Yeah, so fine because they are a direct reflection of myself.
I like that, honestly.
Okay, but no, really. I don't really know what to tell you, or I don't really know what to say. It's one of those things where people see stuff and they see it in a particular way, and me, I'm just here trying to keep my head above water, and I don't really see all those things. But there are some times when I design and I look at my design, because I did this design last week and I looked at it and I'm like, ah, that's such a bad guy. But I think that I'm about to go on like a self-praising, 3 minutes of praising myself. So you might want to brace up. So I think I paid attention to detail, right? And that was a comment I got during my first internship ever. Is that I paid a lot of attention to details, like the really small details, these nuances that nobody else wants to notice. And I don't really, okay, I can tell when something is like 2 pixels off or if this thing doesn't really just flow. So all those really tiny details, when it comes to product design, I just really like them. And again, I think a grand part of my product design journey is the fact that I love to build and I love to solve problems, and I think it just sort of reflects in everything that I do. I try not to take up projects that I don't feel passionate about, because I feel like the passion sort of shines through whatever it is that we are doing, right? If there was a time I got this product and it was really weird and I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere because the guy obviously hadn't done his research and it just didn't feel like it was going to work, but then I tried to do it still and I just wasn't feeling it and I had to drop it eventually, right? And then I picked something that I love, which is healthcare. Most of my work and most of my designs are in the healthcare space. I'm not a fintech person. I'm not going to put that gradient on a button and put a screenshot of a dashboard and tell you I've done a landing page. I'm not in that space, right? But I really just like to do stuff that I like. So I think that's it.
Okay, another Nigerian slang. At this point, we don't deny the finish line. I'm literally trying to say that we are gradually approaching the end of the recording. So, furthermore on designs, furthermore on creating fine designs, I pop the question about sketching, yeah, and Kilowankwe. That's your girl. Forgive me. I'm not going to take this part out. Inspiration and sketching, which one comes first? Does she go out to search for inspiration first before sketching, or she sketches before searching out for inspiration? Let's listen.
Inspiration.
Well, personally, it depends on what I'm designing, right? So there are some times when I actually have no idea what this thing is supposed to look like, and I've never seen anything like it before, and I actually need to search. I need to get, what's it called, inspiration. I need to see what other people have done so that I can say, oh, okay, so this is what it typically looks like. But for most other things, I really like to just sketch and get a sense of where I want to put things and what information I'm trying to get down before I allow other people's idea of what they've done come and poison my own idea. Because eventually, that's what happens when we look for inspiration, quote unquote, is we just steal like a bunch of ideas from like 5 different places. If I steal 1% from 5 places, no one of them can come and tell me, you stole my designs, which is why I think design is pretty weird. So we just like sort of take from these places, and up till I'm still looking for, I don't know, I think that's how like 90% of the design, okay, let me not say 90% because people get dicey when you use wrong figures like that. But yeah, a large percentage of design work now is just taking a bunch of elements from different places and just using it, right? And I think that's fine. It's not, everybody cannot be a revolutionary designer, right? And if design itself, again, should it be revolutionary? I don't know. Design for me is making stuff work. And I feel that, sorry, I can't remember the question. I've rambled on so long that I was asking the first
question. I asked which one comes first, sketching before ideas, or the other way around. And you mentioned that you try to get, it depends on the project, right, on what you're working on, that you try to first get them, you try to sketch before you allow other person's ideas to, using the word poison your idea, right? You prefer to sketch first, then over time you pick ideas, or you pick 1% of different ideas from different points in time.
That people pick, but I'm just saying that, like, isn't that how it works? Like, I guess that everybody, I don't think, and that's my own view on these things, and that's my view on almost everything in life, essentially, is that we're just sort of what they call it, repetitions or different versions of people and things that have come before, right? So if I don't think that I can ever come to anybody, any designer right now, and meet them and say, oh, I need to design this product, especially like designers in Nigeria, and I say, design this product for me, and they come up with something that's so totally different that I've never seen before, it's probably just going to be something, a variation of something I've seen somewhere else, right? But it's going to have like, it's not going to be 100% something I've seen somewhere else. It's going to be like 10% and 10% and 5%. So for me, I feel the best way to sort of avoid that or to limit it is to get out your own ideas, even if it sounds or seems very wacky when you're designing it or when you're skipping it, just get something down, right? And it becomes easier. It becomes easier to not sort of steal when you're looking at other people's work and things like that. But if you have no idea, if I have no idea when I'm designing, it's really easy to just copy somebody else's design. And I don't like to do that. It adds to imposter syndrome. And that's another thing. That's like what I feel is like a major contributor to imposter syndrome, is because everybody knows that what they're doing is not unique, right? If I'm writing something and I know that this thing is 100% to me, I'd still feel a little bit off, because I feel like, okay, that's the fact that this is 100% me. I don't think that these words are as great as everybody else's words. But it's even worse if I steal somebody else's words. I'm like, oh, I didn't even do this myself. Okay, can anybody else notice? This is not good enough. This is fake. This is not me. I'm living like a fake life. So yeah.
Knock, knock, knock. Okay, small interlude. Nothing too serious. So I strongly believe that you've basically enjoyed the conversations we've been having, right, from start to this point. This is like a mini break. And firstly, I would want to, let's say indulge, I'd just like to tell you to share this with your friends and families and neighbors and enemies as well. Share this and follow us on our social media handles at @thedesigners_HB. @thedesigners_HB. And be glad to have your followership and membership, maybe. Enjoy, guys. Cheers.
Some of the struggles, I think the first one is, again, up until now, I think I still suffer. I won't say suffer, but yes, I still deal with imposter syndrome. I think it's just always going to be there for me. I hope it's not always there because it's really annoying. But something weird happens when before I start a product or a project, I really don't want to start it. And I cannot see myself ever starting it. And I feel like a fraud for even taking the product in the first place. But the minute I sit down and I get into the project, I'm like, God, I'm so smart. I'm like the smartest product designer. Okay, that's what I'm thinking. I'm not praising myself. That's what I think when I start the product. I'm like, I'm so smart. I'm the smartest product designer since sliced bread. Like, why didn't I start this earlier? And that's what I always feel. So currently, like now, I have like a product that I'm supposed to start, but I haven't started it because it feels overwhelming. It's a lot of details. But I know when I start it, I'm going to be like, wow, this was not as hard as I thought it was going to be. But again, yes, that is one constant thing. It's just feeling like I don't know what I'm doing before I actually start. So that's one.
Okay. Imposter syndrome.
I think another thing. Do I want to share what?
Others.
Oh, yeah. So another thing is, I feel like I don't, like you said, I feel like I don't design enough. For example, I've worked in like 5 different places, but in these 5 different places, I've worked on 5 different projects, right? So they don't design. I've never worked for like a design agency that designs multiple products for a client. So for my last office, I've been there 8 months for where I currently work. I've been there 8 months and I've been working on the same project for the 8 months. And in that time frame, I see other people posting a bunch of other stuff. And while quantity is not really what defines being a great product designer, right? I don't know. I still struggle to shake that. I remember I had this interview with this guy who was in New York at the time for this really cool job that I did not get, obviously, because if I'd have gotten it, nobody would talk to me anyhow. So it was... He told me about his like work background, and he had worked in the same office for 15 years and he was doing pretty well. And I just wanted to be like him. I wanted to just stick to one great product and just work on it and not feel pressured to design 30,000 things before I feel great enough to call myself a product designer, right? Again, it's not about the amount of things that you design, but it's about product design is essentially means you pick a problem and you solve it. It doesn't, if I design 20,000 products that don't actually solve anybody's problem, which is what really happens with Nigerian designers and even designers everywhere, you solve a product, you design a product, you don't test this, you don't even know how people use it, you don't know anything, you just design it and you move. It never goes out to production. Nobody ever codes it, nobody ever uses it. You haven't designed anything because you haven't solved the problem. You just created like art, fancy stuff that people get to look at. Right. But if I stay in a company long enough, then I get to see. And I remember that was even the problem the recruiter had with my background. He says, okay, because at the end of the interview, I said, do you have any concerns about my qualifications? And he's like, not about your qualifications, but about the work you've done. You don't have anything that's like, you haven't stayed in one. You haven't followed a product through, right? You haven't designed it and then like watched people use it and taken from that feedback and improved on the product. You haven't done that, and that's essentially what design is. You haven't solved any problem. You've just done a bunch of stuff on Figma. Anybody can do a bunch of stuff on Figma. That's not the deal. So again, that's the one thing I struggle with.
So there's no podcast or there's no designers or podcast without talking about achievements, right? There's no recording for this from designers or without we actually highlighting some of the achievements of our speakers or our guest. I wasn't even a guest again. She's family, some way, somehow. So, At this point, Awa is basically sharing things she calls, or she would say she has achieved over the time of her design career and her building career. One statement stuck out for me, I don't know where. She said she built something with someone else's money. I mean, a very funny statement, I won't lie, a very funny one, but you have to listen to this part, you really do.
One of my achievements, obviously, one of the first achievements I'd say is I built a startup, which is pretty cool. Even though it died, I got like $8,000 after first by myself without any nepotism. So that was great. I love that fact. And career sort of that I did not know anything about. I don't even think my parents do understand what I do. And I did that myself, which is pretty great. And I think I've done pretty well for myself in the sense that I don't think ever since I graduated, I've ever got one day without having a job. Or, I've always been choosing and picking. Because I think there's a time I got like 2 job offers and I had to turn them down because I'm a hot cake. Yeah, so I got my jobs myself and that was pretty all right. And I did great work. And I think at work, I sort of do well enough that I'm happy. You know, I learned to code. It was not really myself, but I learned to code in less than a month. I got into that whole space and I started actually coding stuff for work, like actual serious stuff in a month, which was pretty fast and pretty cool, I guess. And I wrote a book. I attended this masterclass when I was in uni by TJ Benson. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. I remember I gathered all my alawi to afford the class. But after that, it really helped. And I wrote my first book and I told TJ Benson after I'd done it. And I'm like, I wrote my first book and he's like, congratulations, writing a book on any level is really insane. And I think the book is pretty all right. Sometimes I go back because I wrote it a while ago. And sometimes I don't even write that much anymore because I'm too busy looking for money. But sometimes I go back to the book and I read some of the things that I wrote and I cannot believe that I wrote them because I don't think that even now I'm capable of writing such grand things, right? And I came up with this idea. I wrote a script for this really cool cartoon, which I will still see through. Shava. It was really cool. And I really like that is what I do. And most of all, my grandest achievement is that throughout all of the weirdness in the world, I have managed somehow to remain a kind and decent human being, which I think is a really great achievement. Also, I'm about to graduate from my master's MSc. And one of my greatest achievements for my MSc is that I think last semester I had a GPA of 5.0. Just pretty great. Right.
It's been an honor, firstly, meeting Awa and talking to her and getting to know her better and picking her brain once and hearing her crack weird and unique jokes and hearing her talk about sad things in a very funny way. It's been great. It's been interesting. I said a lot already during the podcast. I said a lot and I said a lot more than I have even said. So well.
Okay. So my social media everywhere on Twitter is @thisishawa. On Instagram, it is Hawa versus the Homo sapiens agenda. Yes, like so. That's everywhere. I don't do anything else. Just Instagram and if anybody is on Tumblr, which is where I just go to be depressed and stuff, my handle there is chsule. Yeah, I made my Tumblr account when I was 18, by the way. So you see a lot of weird stuff, like me fangirling over One Direction. No judgments.
My people, I'll see you in the next podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, don't forget to like, don't forget to share, don't forget to follow us, and we're glad to have you. Peace out, guys. Cheers.
Thank you very much for having me and for giving me a platform to do what I do best, which is talk circles around everybody and convince them.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're very welcome, Awa.